Luke chapter 2, let's go ahead and read the Christmas story. And as we usually do, appreciate all of you coming. No better place to be during this season than in God's house. And I really do feel sorry for people that know not the Lord. They're missing out on so much because they're missing the truth. They're missing out on really what the Lord has to offer to all of us. I'm so thankful for you. Luke chapter 2, if you will. And we'll begin reading there. I'm reminded, though, of the little girl for Christmas. Christmas morning came downstairs, ran out. She opened all of her gifts, and sure enough, there in the back of the tree, hidden away, was a round-looking gift. And the father said, "Please be careful as you open it. Be very gentle." And so she went over, opened it up, and sure enough, it was a fish bowl filled with water and one goldfish inside. And she was excited, a goldfish for Christmas. And he said, "Yeah, be careful. You got to feed it and take care of it." She said, "Oh, yes, Daddy, I'll do it. I'll take care of it." And sure enough, she went playing around all day long with all her new gifts and toys, and she got the bright idea to go take the goldfish outside to get a little fresh air and get some sunlight. She went and took the goldfish in the little bowl, set it out on the patio there, on the patio table. And she left them out there, said, "Get some sunlight, you know, enjoy yourself." And she went back inside and played with her gifts for about an hour or so. And she came back outside a little bit later and saw the goldfish flopped over outside the bowl, had been knocked over. The goldfish was laying on the porch there, dead. And she was devastated. She was so angry. How could this happen? What happened? And sure enough, her neighbor next door, he was outside doing some yard work, and he heard some rustling around. He peeked over the picket fence and said to little Susie, "What are you doing there?" And she said, "Oh, I'm burying my goldfish. It died." He said, "Well, sweetie, that's an awfully big hole and a big mound of dirt over it for just a little goldfish." She said, "Well, that's because your cat ate my goldfish." So she took care of business there, amen? I like little Susie. And all right, Luke chapter 2, let's read it. "And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar and Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes." By the way, those are death rags. That's what that means. "And laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the great multitude, with the angel, great multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.'" Wonderful Christmas story. We've read it many, many times. I wanted to continue in my series here rather briefly this morning on From the Cradle to the Cross, and talking about, again, continuing here of what it took place and all that manifested here. People today will say, the Lord proclaimed peace on earth. Why is there no peace on earth? And there, by the way, there hasn't been peace on earth from this point forward. Not one day of peace, by the way. There's been constant war and constant fighting and constant death and constant pain. And we miss the second part of it. He says, peace on earth, glory to God, goodwill toward men. Until we put God back in his rightful place, glory to God, then there will be peace. Now, we as individuals have peace because we've accepted the Lord as God. We've put him in his rightful place. Therefore, we do have individual peace. Peace in the world, right, will not happen again until the Lord returns. Okay? There's a lot to do with the millennial kingdom that will come, and hopefully we're going to talk about that in the new year. We're going to go through our series on the end times. But talking about that millennial kingdom, there will be peace on earth, but there will be eternal peace when all of that's done and we're all with the Lord for all of eternity. But we will not have that. Now, thinking about this today as we continue, we saw several things last week, and I'll very briefly run through these. But we saw this divine interruption. this divine interruption. Mary's pregnant. She's almost near ready to deliver. And the Lord comes and says, I'm going to redirect you now, and it's going to be a long journey, hard time. Now, I've said this before, but again, the will of God is always disruptive. Now, that sounds very negative, but it's not. It's disruptive to our own selfish carnal will. A young person does not naturally desire to be pure, right? And keep and save themselves. Why? There's a push. There's a will of our own. A man does not naturally want to put God in his rightful place and keep him center and formal. No, we want to do our own thing and make money and do things, et cetera, et cetera. We know that. There's a disruption. Said, you need to go back to Bethlehem. Now, why? For a taxing reason? No. There's a deeper purpose. To what? Fulfill the word of God. I need to get you from point A to point B to fulfill the will of God for your life and to fulfill the word of God for your life. And sometimes the only way to get me off of the lazy boy and off of the couch and to do something for God is to disrupt my life, isn't it? And now we think about these things. I was joking today with the kids. They come to church every Sunday. They sit here and do their thing, and then they go to their class and have a good time and everything else. They don't remember those Sundays. What Sunday do they remember? This Sunday, when they're nervous and standing in front of people. That's when, right? It's that kind of, it's a disruption. And we look at some of the difficulties and challenges in life, and we go, but I don't want that. But what God is actually doing is getting us into place and into where we're supposed to be. Now, thinking through this, we saw that there was not only the logistics of the Lord, the leading of the Lord, we saw the distinct destination. Now, God had a plan for them. God has a purpose. There's always a prepared place for this person. You're in the will of God. There's a place for you. God has a will for you. You're here on purpose. You're not here on accident. Well, we're here for now. I don't know why we're here. No, God has you here for a reason. And why, by the way, if God has you here for a reason, go ahead and just serve the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. I mean, shift gears and just go at it. Be a blessing to the people around you. Strive to help others. Strive to share the gospel. Be a blessing to the church. Be faithful, etc. We know, so there's a distinct destination. We know it was predetermined. We know it was pre-incarnate. We know all of that. We saw a determined delivery. It was a bad timing, yet it was God's perfect timing. God, what are you doing in my life right now? Why, Lord? You ever say that? I do that often. Lord, why? Lord says, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. I have a will for you. I have things in your life I'm doing right now. We see this. God's in control. God placed them where they're supposed to be, although it was maybe uncomfortable. I have thirdly under that, it was bad company, meaning it was no red carpet rolled out. The company they had in the manger, the barn there, the stable was what? Some donkeys, some chickens maybe, a pig. We got a horse over in the side here. This is what we're talking about. And I thought about this very interesting. Listen, God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me to do his will. But he's inviting us to do his will. Listen, if he wanted to take a donkey and have him talk to the prophet, he'll do it. Old Balaam said, well, I'm not going. Okay, I'm going. I'm going to do what I want to do. The donkey said, no, you're not. Listen, if he wants to redirect a prophet, he'll have him thrown overboard and swallowed by a whale. God uses animals in an amazing thing. People often ask me this. I don't know why. Nobody ever asked me a deep theological question. You know what they ask me? Brother Tim, will there be horses in heaven? Will there be dogs in heaven? I said, dogs, yes. Cats, probably not. No, there will be. Praise the Lord. Okay. Don't get upset at me. Listen, he'll do his will. He'll do his thing. I like that. He'll do what he wants to do. And he's asking us to come along. He's inviting us to serve. He's inviting us to do something. He wants to prove a point. He'll shut the mouths of some lions. He'll prove a point, right? If he wants to prove that God is who he said he was, Jesus is who he said he was, he'll take some fish and feed 5,000 people, beside men and women, probably 15,000 people. He'll do his will. He'll do it. But he's asking, listen, Tim, I want you to join me in the work and I want you to enjoy it and see all the blessings of God and see what I can do. But you know what we often do? We say, no, thanks. I'll do it my way. I'll do my thing. We see the distinguishing denial. They show up and do everything they're supposed to do. That's what we do. Show up and do everything we're supposed to do. Be where we're supposed to be. Abstain from sinful behavior. Try to make the marriage work. Try to save money. Do everything. And then when they come and they go, no vacancy. No room. Do you know anybody that has a room? Not tonight. It's our busiest season. My wife is pregnant here. I mean, she's about to pop. I mean, we got to find a place. And Mary's tugging on his sleeve. We got to go. We got to get somewhere quick. Lord, what now? They see a little stable there. Make their way in. But I said this last week, just a reminder. It is the distinguishing mark, isn't it? The shepherd said, hey, where and how do we know there's so many rooms and so many ladies at this? Probably a bunch of people having kids right now. I mean, how are we going to find what address is that? We don't even know the address. He says, hey, I got it here for you. They're the only couple that'll be in a stable in the barn. They're the only people that'll be in a barn. Oh, that makes it pretty clear. And when you and I go through some challenging situations and bad times and other things, there were no fools to think that any of us in here today have it all together. None of us do. None of us do. We don't have it all together. We got problems. We got issues. There's bickering and fighting. There's in all kinds of things going on. There's fear when we should have faith. There's weakness when we should be strong. All of us. But he says here, when you're going through this trial, this is the place where people are going to acknowledge and see this is the work of God. You just validated God's word to these people, right? The angels come and tell them, well, it could have just been a vision we received in the sky. It could have been just some angel of some kind of star shining for us. But, well, I don't know about it. No, they followed through and said, let's go see. Let's go follow this. And today I say this, but during this time is one of the times throughout the year when people are looking for Christ, aren't they? They're looking for the truth during Christmas time. I read one statistic. It said the highest suicide rate, very hard to think about. High suicide rate is around Christmas. You think it'd be the joyous time, happiest time. Why? Because it's hard. You know, we see the hustle and bustle and we see the shallowness of everything and the materialism and commercialism of everything. And it's there and there's broken homes and hurt lives. And we think about people are looking for the truth and there's a distinguishing mark there. Are you taking what God's given you and using it for his glory? John 6:37, he says, I will in no wise cast out. Anyone that comes to me, I won't cast you out. The offer is still on the table. It's still available. Notice the design to protect. He used this to protect them. God's ways of protection are often foreign to us and to the world. God's ways of protection are often different from what we see. He sent Elijah out into the desert to protect him from wicked Jezebel. You'd think he'd send them somewhere else. But he sent them out to the desert with no food, no water, no shelter. He had to sleep on the ground. Well, thanks a lot, Lord. I mean, I'm trying to do what you want me to do. What's he doing? He's actually protecting you. Same old, same old. How was work this week? Same old, same old. Do you know people around the world would give anything for same old, same old? You know people around the world give anything for making it by. We're just barely getting by. I mean, same thing. Nothing real exciting. Don't have much going on. That's how I am. Give anything. Give anything. Oh, think about this. He protected him. He put Joseph in prison for years only to set him up so he could save much people alive. He sent David on the run so he could set him up and put him in the right position to become king. He stripped Moses of his royalty in Egypt so he could send him out into the desert to be a shepherd over the sheep to one day come back and lead his people. He took Ruth away and took her husband from her and her father-in-law and took her to a foreign land where nobody liked her and spoke a different language and made fun of her and mocked her for being a Moabite. To what? Be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, he took three Jewish boys and threw them into the fire so he could prove to the wicked king that God is the God of all heaven and all the earth. Old Nebuchadnezzar said, your God, he is the God. He is the God of all the earth. You think about today, God's maybe redirecting you. You may not be having everything where it should be. But think about it. God may be doing something in your life, but he's also doing something in the people around you. and how they view God and how they see it. If you were put on trial today for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? He's a Christian. Put him on trial. Not enough evidence. Not real faithful. Don't really stand up for Christ. They don't ever share the gospel. Not ever really speaking of the truth to others, etc. We think about today. God wants to work through us. Notice it. The distinct events left no doubt of God's doing. No doubt. No doubt. People often view God like he's dangling a carrot in front of us. Or view God like we're God's punching bag, one author put it. And God just beating us up all the time, putting us through trials for everyone else to see us. God's putting you through all these problems and issues. God's trying to prove you. God's trying to show you. No. We are the vessels of his grace. We are the carriers of hope. If you look up the word hope in your Bible, it's repeated throughout the Bible. The psalmist, I think it's repeated many, many times throughout the Psalms. Hope, hope, hope. What is it? There's a Hebrew word for hope and there's a Greek word for hope. And it means an expectation. I'm hoping today. The world has no hope today. Their hope is to get up, go to work, come home, get plastered, do it all over again, put up with the wife, put up with the kids, do your thing, get your job, go buy your truck, go buy your car, your tractor, and do your... That's the hope we have today. No, we have hope in Jesus Christ. Our hope is looking to glory. Our hope is to try to strive to serve Christ daily, every day, until we breathe our last breath. The sad fact is that some of us won't be here next year. Now, I'm not saying death, but I'm saying some will leave, some will move, some may pass. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we striving in these latter days to be faithful to him? We are the vessels of grace. We're the carriers of hope. We see it. Oh, in the midst of hurt, I have verses here, but I must hasten and wrap it up here. 1 Peter 3:15, he says, be ready to answer every man that asks you, notice, the reason of the hope that's in you. People ask, why do you have such hope in a dark world? Why do you have such hope? I have hope. I must be ready to answer that. But the average Christian, they say, why do you have such hope? I don't know. I'm not really sure. I believe in Jesus. I believe the Bible. See, we got to have an answer. Let me tell you why. Let me show you from the Bible why I have such hope in Christ. Point us back to Christ. Oh, we think about it. Let me skip ahead. Then we see the declaration defined. Oh, I love it. God's will, God's way, God's word are never hidden or mysterious. Never. They're never mysterious. They're never hidden, if you will. The angels come and they say, glory to God in the highest. Peace, goodwill toward men. We'll show you what to do. We'll show you the way. We'll make it distinct for you. It's never mysterious. God's will is available. But we have to seek the Lord for that. We want a letter in the mail to give us every detail of our lives. Here's where you go. Here's what you do. Here's what you say. Here's what you read. Here's what job you take. Here's who you're supposed to marry. We like that. But no, we got to seek him and seek the truth. Oh, we think about today. The declaration was defined. The praises in the storm. The players in the plan. It's all there. Hebrews 13:15 talks about our praise to God is often a sacrifice, meaning it's hard to do. A sacrifice is something you don't want to do. You have to sacrifice something to do something else. It's very difficult. And our praises to him are often sacrificial. It's hard to praise. I don't want to praise the Lord right now. I want to complain. I don't want to praise the Lord right now. I want to get angry. I want to be frustrated. I like that. Oh, no, but we praise him. Glory to God in the highest. This is what we're doing. He says, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Born a Savior. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. These are all positive praises. Here it is today. I think about there were no kings or potentates that were given this great revelation. There was no well-known mayor, governor, theologian, preacher, or pastor that was given this revelation. It was given to some blue-collar shepherds out in the field. It was given to some shepherds that no doubt had very little money. Obviously, it's late at night. They worked very hard hours, the graveyard shift, and just normal people were given the revelation. And often we think about these people that say they've been given a great word from God, a revelation from God, usually are lying. You and I have the opportunity to receive the word today. Lowly shepherds, everyday men of low estate. No red carpet was rolled out but dirt and hay. No penthouse room of the highest Hilton hotel but a cold, drafty stall. No mink blanket or royal apparel but only swaddling death rags, rags they could find in the corner of the stall. By the way, you study that, it's pretty disgusting. Farmers and others that kept the donkeys and the sheep and the horses would keep rags, old torn up rags, off in the corner to use to clean and wipe things from the animals. And the only thing Mary and Joseph had were those things. And they took that precious baby boy, the very Son of God, and wrapped him in that. It's a great picture. Jesus would later come and say, I was born to this end. I was born to die. We're all born to die, by the way. But he said, I came for this reason. Only swaddling clothes. No entourage to greet him. No news outlet to carry the story, but just some shepherds and animals came to help. I put lastly here, there's no excuse to present yourself before him. No excuse. Well, I don't have all of that. Doesn't matter. I don't have those things. I don't have the talent. I don't have the mind capacity. I don't have the talent. I have other plans. No. God says, I have a plan. I want to redirect you. I want to show you the way today if you know not the Lord as your personal Savior. Today would be a great day to handle that. I would not start another year doubting your salvation. I would handle it. If you're not in the will of God today, I would encourage you to get in the will of God. I'd encourage you to get away from those things and influences and people even that are misdirecting you and redirecting you away from the things of God and get around God's people. Realign your life back to Christ. Realign it. We'll study some of this next week as we look at the series. If you continue in chapter 2, there's some really interesting material that we'll look at. And as Jesus grows up into a boy and some of the things that happen. Today, though, as we approach Christmas, are you where you're supposed to be? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. God still offers that peace today to you. Still available. The peace in your home. The peace in your relationships. The peace in every area of your life. Where is it? It's only in Him. It's only in Him. Center Christ in your life. That's where it's at. I know it's hard to do. I know it's difficult. I know we live in a world. Most of us were grown up and programmed to follow the ways of the world. But you can do it today. Get in this book. Get in your prayer closet. Study this word. If you know the Lord is your personal Savior today, let me ask you. I want you to consider and think about today and this week and meditate upon the birth of our Lord and Savior. What joy it brings in a dark world with all kinds of problems going on. Born to you a Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Born to you a Savior. What's He doing? He's working. He's intersecting our lives. He's doing His work. He didn't leave us and abandon us to our own ways. Thank God He didn't. We'd all be in hell today. He said, here's a Savior. I look down from heaven. I see your low estate. I see the mess you're in, and I'm going to do something about it. That's the God we serve. Amen? That's the God we serve. A Savior which is born today. Do you know Him today? Those of you that do, are you serving Him? Concentrate and focus and really chew on that this week, if you will. What God did for us, what an amazing thing. We will not know the full capacity of it all until we get to heaven. And we will look back in such shame of how we treated the Lord and how we took it for granted and how shallow our faith was in so many areas. I know I will. Would you stand with me, please? We're out of time this morning. I thank you for being here. I'd encourage you. Stay faithful. You gather around maybe this week and family and friends and opening some gifts and such things as we usually do. Would you prioritize the Lord? Take some time to read the Christmas story and pray. Work. Ask God, Lord, work in our home. Work in our lives. We want to do more for you. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace today and for being able to hear the children sing and the time and effort they put into it, Lord. I pray you'd bless them. There's always joy when we serve you, when we put forth an effort. When, Lord, we step out by faith and do something for you, bring joy to our hearts and peace to our hearts. We thank you. But, Lord, this week, would you please be with us and help us? And as we say each year, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, really considering what you've done for us. It's an amazing, amazing thing if we'll truly meditate upon it. We love you. Thank you for the salvation you've offered to all of us. We praise and love you and thank you in Jesus' name.